This is Callie Wright from the Gaytheist Manifesto, and you're listening to Inciting Incident.
People choose the news they want now, but we can't overcome
that. People choose the facts they want now.
I don't mind being dejected and rejected, but I'm not going to be ashamed about it.
I can do that.
See, Joy, that's the beauty of argument. Because if you argue correctly, you're never wrong.
The truth and a lie are not sort of the same thing.
Good evening. It's Friday and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's bed radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, most tin cans connected with string, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the plate in Pete and Pete's mother's head, and any other podcast app that somehow escapes this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
Being for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an actual thing that happened.
And Hillary still won the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, and she still won the popular vote, and yet.
Yeah. And I also know there's a bunch of liberals right now saying, don't talk about abolishing the Electoral College. This is what the system was designed to do. I don't know how you can look at, this person got X votes, this person got Y votes, this one has 600,000 more, but the other person wins. That is a bullshit system, and I'm tired of it.
This is not the first time it's happened, either.
No.
And honestly, not just fuck the Electoral College, fuck our entire system. Like, the entire reason, in my opinion, there are many reasons, but the main reason that Trump is now what he is, I can't even bring myself to say the fucking words. The entire reason that that's a thing is because we treated the working class like shit. So, dear working class, hello. My name's Astrid, and I personally think that you guys should have all of the power. I feel like all of the power should be in the hands of the workers. You guys collectively should have control over your own lives. I feel like a government cannot govern you as well as you can govern yourselves as a solid, unified movement.
So someone put this into perspective for me once. The whole working class thing, like, that calls to mind, like, a construction worker wearing overalls, throwing around a hammer, and, you know, sort of a rednecky blue collar sort of thing. But, like, look, if you are not the owner of a business, and if you are not, like, the CEO or upper management, you're fucking working class.
Yeah.
Yes.
Working class is not, you know, just the front line. It's not just the people who run the cash registers or work in the factory.
I feel like there's still a cultural connotation around working class meaning poor.
Yeah, there is. There absolutely is.
There absolutely is, but that's not what that fucking means.
Not anymore. Like, that doesn't mean that anymore.
Yeah, and, like, people freak out. Like, oh my god, are we gonna really give people the ultimate power to control their own careers? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's essentially the point of democracy in a more direct form, by the way. And honestly, like, I don't know what the fuck people think I mean when I say the working class has all the power, but, like, personally, I think hospitals would function way better if, like, doctors and nurses collectively could dictate what happens with the hospital and how it functions.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be a much more efficient system. If you want roads to be built and it not be a fucking catastrophe, like all of the roads in Pennsylvania, then just fucking leave it up to the people who designed roads and the construction workers and all of the people who are involved in that shit to get it together and come up with the best plan for everyone. Don't leave it to somebody who is not affected by what you're doing to dictate how you do it.
You were about to say something?
Oh, I just was on a very micro scale of this. So I was at, the reason we're in this car is because I was staff at a convention, and I do cosplay in part of my life, which is also why this identity is going to remain a secret. I was in charge of managing the costume contest, which involved like 60 some odd nerds milling around in a hallway, and the most efficient way to get them to line up in order was to make them do it themselves.
Yes.
I was like, hey, you guys have numbers that we wrote on those flags that we stuck to your badges? Yeah, talk to the people around you and get yourselves in line. And I went around and I said that to everybody, and guess what? I had a neatly ordered line in like 10 minutes. And then I said, hey guys, you're blocking the hallway. You guys should, while you're lining yourselves up, you should put yourselves against the wall and go that way instead of that way so we don't block the path. And guess what? 15 minutes later, everybody was up against the wall in numerical order, talking to each other and making friends. And like the head of cosplay came back and was like, how did you do that so fast? And I was like, I made them do it themselves.
And honestly, like, I realize that I am a militant, radical, anti-fascist, what the fuck ever. I am a leftist, aka just trying to do the best I can. I realize that a lot of my opinions are probably new to the people listening, because you don't typically hear this type of shit, but I assure you that I am not alone in these beliefs. My beliefs are not based on what I personally think is great. It's what people collectively decide on the matters that affect them. So like with racism, for example, my opinions on racism aren't worth shit at all because I'm white as hell. I'm never going to experience racism firsthand. So when I'm doing my little like white ally bullshit, I'm literally just reiterating the things that black people and people of color have told me they are too fucking exhausted to keep fighting about.
Who are we flipping off?
Trump.
Oh.
There's a billboard that said, only Trump can save America. Think about it.
Oh, I don't have my glasses on right now because I was kind of sitting in the middle seat so that the mic could pick me up.
Yeah, sure.
And then it made me motion sick. And then I realized if I took my glasses off, everything's super out of focus and I have no depth perception, so it stopped making me motion sick. But I didn't see the billboard. I just saw you guys suddenly sticking your middle fingers up. And, like we're in, I think we're in Georgia right now.
We are.
But like, we're still on 95, so traffic, like,
sucks.
People just bad driving all over the place. And I wasn't sure if you were flicking off another driver.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
So maybe we can bring this back around to 10% bees.
Well, I'll get there, but I have a couple points I need to make before we transition there. First of all, you were saying how the workers really have all the power and they don't realize it. That is a great point. Why do you think the people in charge want to bust unions? Do you think it's just because they are concerned about a percentage of your paycheck going to the union? Hell no. I can't tell you how many jobs I worked where part of the first day orientation was showing why unions are bad. And it would be videos like, yeah, unions used to do a lot of things, but now they're just collective bureaucracy who make large salaries. And it's like, no motivation there whatsoever, Walmart, huh?
For real. And like, honestly, like, my favorite example of this is like when people use the argument that unions just want to get paid more. First of all, I'm in favor of that, personally. But think about the concept of a minimum wage for a second. You are selling your labor by the hour. Those are hours you will never fucking get back. And this is a company telling you, you know, I'd pay you less if I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something else that put that into perspective for me was a post that was like, think about it as selling an hour of your life. Are you really only worth $7.50? Is an hour of your life only worth that much? Like, that was one of the things that I found particularly chilling about that.
Yeah. Your life is worth so much more than that. So much more.
Yeah, it really is. And the next point is, of course, the fact that people say this stuff can't happen. Yeah, it can. Yeah, it can. Part of the problem of big events that have happened, you know, tragedies, everybody always says, well, why didn't somebody do something? Because they all thought it couldn't happen to them.
Yes, literally. And I'm going to quote so many fucking historians right now. As soon as you let yourself believe that he can't, he fucking will.
And that's, he said just as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'll give you an example from my personal history. I used to work at Joseph A. Bank before they got bought out by Men's Warehouse and got made shittier. When I first worked at Joseph A. Bank, we had the ability to make whatever the sale we wanted. We had the ability to get the sale no matter what. We were not micromanaged to fucking death. It was, here's the numbers, go get them. If it was a buy one, get two, and somebody only wanted one suit, we can go, oh, well, we'll sell that to you for 33% because it's the same fucking deal. Men's Warehouse came in and started slowly, slowly, slowly making rules that just incrementally more pissed me off. And one was the fact that since it's a suit store, it's not a mall. It's not heavy traffic all the time. There were three chairs in the back of the store where you could still see the door, but they couldn't see you. And if it was particularly slow, we would sit there and bullshit because there's nobody in the goddamn store. And because most of the people who work in that store are over the age of 55, you know. And one day they decided to get rid of the chairs because you shouldn't be sitting on the job. I don't know who came up with the idea that somehow sitting down when there's no customers to be addressed is unprofessional, but we're human. We are people. Standing 8 hours plus all day hurts. And I don't understand this fucking ableist bullshit that says you have to stand all the time, no matter what. If you lean, it's lazy. Well, I was a former professional wrestler. My body hurts all the time. It's not lazy. It's the fact that my back really hurts. I need to sit down before it gets worse.
And honestly, like, I've worked so many shitty jobs and I don't last in them for long at all because I have so many health issues. But guess what happens when I work retail? I'm on my feet all day, and then by the time I get home, I'm limping and crying. I collapse on the stairs and cry, and then I crawl up the stairs, crawl into bed, cry some more, get drunk, go to sleep, and then do it again.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
And the other thing is, like, if you're gonna be on your feet all day, and, like, there's lots of other professions that are, like construction work and stuff also requires people to be on their feet all day, that are not retail jobs. They're, you know, we can get into another can of worms with labor, too.
Yeah.
But, like, that requires supportive shoes, or, like, a back brace, or, you know, things that help keep you upright. And those don't cost nothing.
Yeah.
Like, good shoes are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And are you really, if your choice is between a pair of really supportive shoes so that you can keep working your, McDonald's job, or rent, that's a pretty easy decision.
Yeah.
You'll go buy cheap shit shoes from Walmart, which will continue to fuck up your back.
Uh-huh. And someone always has an excuse for that. I have noticed. Someone always has an excuse for why your shitty situation could just be rectified by a thing. And I've noticed it is always people who have had help getting out of a situation like that or have never been in it in the first place sitting there going, well, why don't you just do X? Fuck you! I'm sick of this shit!
My favorite fucking example of this is the phrase, just pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
That is a lie. Nobody has ever done that.
Yes, I would like anybody listening right now who has boots that have straps to go ahead and try to lift themselves off the ground.
Yeah, it doesn't
How
work.
How are you going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps?
By the bootstraps.
How are you going to lift yourself up by the bootstraps if that's physically fucking impossible? That's not a thing. You can't do that.
There's this prized, almost legendized, I don't know if that's a word, but it's put into legend, this myth that you know, the people who work the hardest get the most. No, they don't. If that were the case, then, you know, undocumented workers working in the fruit fields or the vegetable fields or stuff like that, those people would be running the world, and they're not. You know, the guy who just won the presidency tried to talk about his struggle as someone who went to his parents to get a small $1 million loan. 99% of the people in this country could never get a $1 million loan at all, let alone from their fucking dad.
Also, that figure's a lie.
What?
It was not $1 million.
It was not.
More than that.
It was much more than that.
Okay, but
it
still.
It was like $31 million.
Still.
I know. I understand what you're saying. Like, you are not wrong. I'm not correcting that part.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out to our listeners that on top of this idea of a struggle, he was lying.
Yeah.
About a struggle, an imagined struggle that is not a struggle.
And they have convinced you that you are worth $7.50 an hour and that you're not working hard enough to deserve it and that you should work off the clock so you don't lose your job. They have turned you into numbers. And when you turn people into numbers, they not only lose a sense of who they are, but they lose a sense of their own worth. When people are told, yeah, you could resist this or you could argue against this, but if you don't, we'll just replace you. How do you feel about that? You know, a lot of people have been convinced that that's actually what they're worth because they believe the big lie. They believe that if they just keep working hard, it'll be better. No, it won't. As long as you continue lining the paychecks of the people who make these bullshit rules, that's going to stay the same. The people who were saying you're not allowed to sit down when nobody's in the store don't work in the goddamn store. They have nothing to do with it. They are people who are at the very top and whose bonuses are determined by the numbers you do. It goes uphill. You know, the regional manager has all the numbers for the stores. They get a bonus. And then there's someone in charge of them. They get a bonus if a certain amount is made. You know, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with professionalism. It has to do with their dollar and the fact that they need the worker ants to get it for them.
Fucking right. I'm tired of people acting or, like, just looking at trickle-dom. Huh.
Well,
look, I called pretty... her asterisk in a recording mic test because I was stumbling over my words, and it appears that I've cursed her with a fucked up name, and now she can't pronounce any words at all.
We're driving from Fort Lauderdale to Pennsylvania, and we're making this trip for the second time in, what, 4 days?
Yeah.
We're all a little tired and stressed out because 2 days before we made this trip, we elected Donald fucking Trump president.
So, yeah, I'm tired of people looking at trickle-down economics and being like, well, them's the breaks. No, no, no. Trickle-down economics, in practice, is more like an upward flood, right? Because it is very, very few people benefiting from the work of billions. Millions? Billions?
Millions in this country. Millions, we'll just say America now. About 370 million, I believe.
Are we also counting, like, all the outsourced labor that we've sent to the Philippines and India?
We should.
I wasn't in that number.
Yeah, but whatever. Massive, massive amounts of people. It's very, very few benefiting from the work of the many. And if you know anything about physics or just gravity, flooding upwards doesn't fucking work. It's not sustainable. It's gotta come all crashing down. So, comrades, fellow working class, what's fucking good? Let's bring the shit crashing down. We do not need capitalism. We do not need any of this shit. We can do better. We as humans who have each other's best interests in mind, or even just have our own fucking best interests in mind, we can do better.
Yeah.
We deserve better. We are capable of making better. We are capable of making the change that we all want to see. And now is the fucking inciting incident. This is the moment. This is the moment in which we can look at what's around us and be like, oh, well, that seems like a lot of effort. I'm just gonna continue on doing all of this fucked up shit. Or we can go on the adventure. We can make the fucking change happen. So let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Fuck this shit.
And I will make this offer. Anyone who is offended right now or who is really bothered by what we're saying, come on the show. Let's talk about it.
Let's fucking...
I would love to.
Let's talk.
I want to know why it's a bad thing, or I want to know why it's a good thing or not a thing in your eyes that a good portion of this country is asking themselves, am I safe right now? You know, to some level, there's always that concern, but it usually isn't because of just who or what you are. And right now, if you're LGBT, if you're Muslim, if you're Mexican, if you're any POC, you're sitting there going, Jesus, am I going to be attacked by a Nazi or a Klans member or just someone in a red hat that says, make America great again, just for existing? That is not America, and it shouldn't be. And if we're going to perpetuate this myth of freedom and, you know, be who you are and we're all snowflakes, then let's start fucking acting like it. Who you voted for should not be getting you attacked in the street. Who you voted for should not be a threat of death. And who won the election should not mean that you no longer are safe in your own country just for being who you are. And Republicans, no offense, but most of the shit you talked about where you didn't feel safe with Obama, you were making shit up. It wasn't there. This guy, I will reiterate, is saying all of the things that we're afraid of right now. Okay? Gay people aren't scared just because a Republican got elected. Gay people are scared because, hey, his vice president is the guy who signed the bill that made electroshock for gay people legal. Big fucking difference. If Obama had come out and said, yeah, I'm the Antichrist, what is it, bitches? I would agree. But he didn't. Never. Everything you were afraid of with Obama never fucking existed. Everything we're afraid of with Trump right now comes directly from his mouth and comes directly from his supporters who find this to be a good thing. They have found that slogan, make America great again, to be, let's make it all white, straight, Christian, hetero, whatever, however you want to look at it. Their version of a great America is the myth of the 1950s where white people just had white people, everybody went to church, nobody was gay, and if they were, you shunned them. Everything was good for white people and nobody else. That is what this slogan meant, and if you don't see that now, I don't know how I can make it any clearer for you, but I feel kind of sorry for you.
I keep watching the speedometer go up the angrier Al gets.
What gave me the idea I was angry? I don't understand.
And, you know, before we go off into another tangent, I want to add on to something that Al just said. He said, come on our show and talk to us about it. I want to just make it perfectly fucking clear that if you voted for Trump and you want to come on our show and debate with us, we're not going to attack you for voting for Trump, especially since the vast majority of people who voted were essentially just like, well, he's not a politician, and I'm really fucking tired of politicians ruining my life. I agree with you. Let's get politics out of the hands of politicians. However, I don't think it should go into the hands of a fucking billionaire who has no regard for workers' rights.
Yeah. And just for the record, anti-establishment is not billionaire. You know why?
Because they are the establishment.
Yeah. When this is all over, Trump and Clinton will go back to being friends. Trump and Bush will go back to being friends. This is a much more exclusive club than you realize, okay? All of these people know each other, and they all hang out together. I was reading about how Newt Gingrich in the 90s was the person who put a stop to compromising politics because politicians used to live in Washington. And when they did that, all of their kids would play on the same teams and go to the same schools, and they would go to the same restaurants afterwards, you know, after they had debated and compromised. They would do that. And then Newt Gingrich in the 90s said, don't live in Washington anymore. And now it's like Facebook. You know, you only hang out with the people that you know. You only hang out with the people who agree with you. And surprisingly, things are more polarized. I can't figure out how that happened. So, like I said, Trump and Clinton hang out. Trump donated to Clinton's campaign in the 90s. He donated to Obama, okay? Trump is not anti-establishment. All of the people who are billionaires, the people Bernie Sanders was talking about, That's the establishment. The establishment is not necessarily politicians. It's the fact that only millionaires and billionaires can afford to be politicians. Do you know how much goddamn money you have to just to get on the ballot in one state?
Fucking right. So, dear...
I have a story. I have a quick story about that, about the billionaire and being, you know, a politician.
Yeah.
I have a colleague who is also very radical, and he had a public post about his daughter asking him, can I be president one day? And he told her, no, we are not rich enough, we will never be rich, and you will never be president. And, like... a bunch of people on Facebook, like, jumped on him for dashing his daughter's dreams, and he was like, look, I'm not. I'm teaching her the truth of things. Like, I'm not telling her not to get into politics, to work hard or study law or anything like that, but, like, you need money to be in politics, and that is the truth, and she needs to know the truth. And, like, it's a harsh lesson, but I kind of agree with him.
I totally fucking agree. You don't need to lie to your kids and try to shelter them for the fucking world, because... best case scenario, your kids are going to grow up and join the world. They need to know.
And maybe she'll hold that in her heart and be angry about it. And then, like, become a revolutionary.
Yes, maybe she will be so fucking angry about it that she will go ahead and do it out of spite through sheer fucking grassroots support. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Ideally. I mean, I'd support it.
She's also growing up in a world where crowdfunding has become a regular thing.
Thanks, patrons.
Yeah.
Love you.
And maybe she'll grow up into a world... I don't know the kid. Maybe she's a charismatic kid. Maybe she's good at getting people to follow her. I sure am. And, like, it's just a talent some people have, just for collecting people.
Yeah.
And maybe she'll grow up and develop networking skills, and maybe she'll... have a grassroots movement, like you said, and maybe she'll, you know, help be the person who brings the world out of the ashes we're gonna plunge it into, because her dad told her she could never be president.
Yeah, and just FYI, the Tea Party was not a grassroots movement. That was funded by the Kochs, so it was all an illusion, just before someone says that.
Yep.
And I also want to comment one more thing before we eventually get into bees. If you think this whole affluent running the country thing is new, it's not. This was put directly into the system the minute this country was created. The school of thought from the founding fathers was the guy on the $10 bill, Hamilton. His basic idea, read the Federalist Papers if you don't know this, was... people are too stupid to know what's good for them. Put it in the control of the elites, of us, because we're the only ones who deserve that responsibility.
That makes the whole musical really ironic.
Yeah.
Yes, and even even fucking so, those racist assholes still put it in the goddamn rules that we are allowed to overthrow a fascist government.
Yeah.
That is in the fucking rules.
Yeah. And by the way...
you're welcome for that. It's in the rules, was my phrase.
Yes,
the other
yes. Day. Fuck yes.
Yeah. This whole idea was put into work by people who thought that they were the only ones who should have a say in their own government. You know, 1770s? But black people didn't get the right to vote until the 1860s, and that was...
black women didn't get the right to vote until 1960.
Yeah. I was getting there.
I just wanted to yell it because I was mad about it.
Fuck yeah. Didn't Native women even come after that?
Yeah, they did. So, you know, this whole idea that everybody has a vote hasn't been around for very long. A lot of people who are still alive didn't have the right to vote their whole lives. So don't tell me your vote doesn't matter, and don't tell me that it's something that everybody takes for granted, because they don't, and this is why. Because this is a system that was designed to favor the rich and powerful and make sure they were also the only ones who had a say. It hasn't always worked, but for the most part it has. Believe it or not, Obama was pretty much the exception. That is a guy raised by a single mother who, I don't want to say pulled himself up by his own bootstraps because that's not a thing, but made it to Harvard, you know? And I can relate to that. Not yeah. having the most affluent upbringings and making it to the same school that Donald fucking Trump went to, but for the most part, it was designed to be inaccessible to most of us because they believe that how rich you are is determined by how smart you are and how good at your job you are, and that is why they don't give a shit about you. Bernie Sanders is the what was really speaking the truth when he said that class doesn't care about you and will never address your concerns. They will say enough to make you think that they give a shit and then go back to doing exactly what they want to do and have always done, which is whatever the fuck they want, whatever the fuck benefits them.
Fucking right. And I just want to say this again for whoever isn't on my Facebook. Bernie Sanders was fucking right. People collectively, us Americans, we have the power to change this fucked up system. We don't need him to do it. We are the revolution. Let's fucking do it.
Enough people right now need to say, this is fucked up, things need to change. Because the only way things are going to change is if enough people say, this is fucked up, things need to change. And not just say it, but fucking do something about it.
Fucking do something. And I swear to fucking God, anybody at all that is listening to this, who is inspired or just wants to do something, just fucking message me. I'm like Astrid_Isley on Twitter, Astrid Isley on Facebook. You can message the Inciting Incident Facebook page. You can email us at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. Literally what the fuck ever. If you want to get involved and do something, I will personally provide you with methods of going out there and making change.
And if you want a platform, you're listening to people who have one, okay? Us talking right now isn't just us bitching about it. We know we can reach people, and we are actually doing something about it. I don't just get out of the studio and that's it. You know, we're actually doing something about it.
And honestly, like, I first got involved with Inciting Incident Podcast when I had the realization that my friend was creating this platform for stories that need to be heard and things that need to be discussed. If you have a story that needs to be heard or a thing that needs to be discussed, just fucking tell us.
Yeah.
Hello. We are here. We want unity and solidarity with our fucking comrades. Hit us up.
And, if you disagree with us, tell us. We'll give you the chance to respond.
Yeah.
We want people to disagree with us so we can figure out where other people stand. But I will say this, if you're going to come on and be homophobic, transphobic, racist, or misogynist, we're not talking to you.
I mean, I'll talk to you, I will be mean, because I do that, because I am not tolerant of oppression.
But we're not going to give that a platform, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I called my dad a bigot once, and then he, like, literally got up in my face and screamed about his freedom of speech, which I informed him that I, too, also had.
Yep.
That was also the moment I had the revelation that, like, I was financially independent of them and that there was nothing they could do to me besides be assholes and hurt my feelings. So I was just like, fuck you, and left. And it was the most tremendously liberating moment of my life. So I highly encourage all of you to have a fuck you moment. Like, you have no control over me. I am my own person. Fuck you. Stick it to the man?
Yes.
Yeah, that was supposed to be motivating and it just trailed off. I'm sorry.
No, I got you. Here's the follow-up. If you are out there and you are scared right now because you feel alone and you feel like there is nothing you can do about this situation and you feel like it's you versus them, just hit us up.
We are your ally.
We are your fucking comrade.
I also have an enormous network. Like, I had,
we all
I,
do.
I also
we all
had
do.
This revelation. Whoa. The window suddenly went down.
My bad.
There was a button mishap. I had this tremendous revelation that I just, like, I know lots of people of a similar political mind in lots of different places with lots of different skills, and I was just like, maybe I know an army.
Yeah.
So just saying. So if you need resources, please talk to the Inciting Incident folks who know me.
Yeah.
And I can help you too indirectly through my assumed identity, which we've been really good about not calling me by my real name.
Yeah.
Woo!
Good job, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's going to be my revolutionary name.
But seriously, like, I'm not a member of any particular anti-fascist revolutionary group. I'm just involved with a fucking lot of them. I'm not a member of any particular organization other than It's a Shameful Thing, Lobsterhead, LLC.
Yeah.
That's my only fucking affiliation. But I'm involved with so many networks of people who are already organizing and unifying and trying to reach out, but just haven't had the fucking chance to talk to you yet. I assure you, they would fucking love to have you join.
Yeah. And I will also say, this isn't just us, okay? You know, we have a range of about 30,000. But you know who else we know? Thomas Smith, Andrew Torres, No Illusions, Eli Bosnick, Tom and Cecil. We are 2 degrees from Sam Harris. Like, there are a lot of people that we know that are also getting involved and are also speaking out, a lot of whom who have been on the show. I'm not saying go to them and say, you know, let's rise up and go fuck shit up, but I am saying not only can your voice be heard this way, but we can put you in touch with more people who have bigger networks than we do and who are just as pissed off right now.
And honestly, like, it's not even just, like, bigger than us specifically. It's bigger than we can safely tell you. There are so many people that we know who do hold positions of power and are fucking tired of this shit and do support a resistance who cannot openly do so and maintain their credibility in their careers that they've spent their entire fucking lives working on.
Yeah, I'm just a college senior. I don't have a career other than this. Like, and anybody who hires me for any of my careers knows what they're getting into when they see the word Lobsterhead on the business card. So, I'm not fucking anything up right now. You are my primary source of employment.
You, the person listening right now, have something special about you that you personally can contribute to solidify and unify our movement. And I don't know what that is, but I think you do. And I think that if you reach out, we will gladly accept.
Yeah. And I don't even know what the movement is yet, but I do know any movement begins by a lot of people getting pissed off. If you don't think a lot of people getting pissed off can change the world, this is a negative one, but look what happened between 2008 and now.
Yeah.
Barack Obama was elected and a whole bunch of people got pissed off that apparently a black person can be president. And 8 years later, they have control of the House, the Senate, the presidency, and pretty soon the Supreme Court, too. That's in 8 years.
And I'm going to go ahead and go on record as saying that I'm personally going to be at the inauguration. If you want to meet me at the demo, because it will be a demo, it will be a protest. The general goal is to make it so disruptive that he has to be inaugurated indoors, just because that visual alone is so powerful. If you want to meet up, hit us up. Yep. We can have a nice little inciting incident meet and greet. Just, you know, fucking Washington, D.C. at the inauguration. We'll be there.
Yeah.
I probably won't be super noticeable.
No.
So, like, definitely let us know, and we can, I don't know, go out for drinks or food or whatever after.
Yeah. So, now that we've gotten all that fun stuff out of the way,
I've been told that there is a story regarding 10% of bees, but I still have no fucking clue what it is. Every time I'm like, hey, what's this thing you're referencing? I hear, oh, we'll discuss it on the show. So what the fuck?
All right. So let me back up by saying that this information is sourced from The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt, who did extensive research on why people are divided by politics and religion. And I did a blog about part of this, and that is that people are much quicker to respond when emotional issues are tapped into. And that's exactly what Trump did. Trump tapped into emotion rather than logic, and it is a lot harder to dissuade someone from their emotions because we have an innate need to believe our first instincts. And generally, when you ask when you ask people about their first instinct, sometimes they don't understand why they think a certain thing is bad. They just do. You know, it's not about evidence. It's about feelings. And it's a, like I said, it's a lot harder to talk someone out of their feelings than it is out of logic or reason.
Yep.
That's why people who, you know, go to the church of logic and reason believe evidence when it's presented to them. You know, that's the whole thing. But if you're emotionally involved, if, you know, there's this feeling, this intuition, this belief that something is wrong just from hearing it, you know, have you ever had that feeling, this just feels wrong? You don't know why.
The opposite of truthiness.
Yeah. You don't know why, it just does. That's what we're talking about. You know, if you feel scared in a place, you know, something just feels uncomfortable, it's really hard to convince yourself that everything's okay, even if it actually is, because that's how powerful emotion is. So, this is giving sort of a groundswell of context of why stuff like this can happen. And the idea that hate puts forth, and I'm overgeneralizing, let me be perfectly frank about that. I cannot summarize in detail this book, because you should just read the book, because Jonathan Haidt has a lot more years of research after getting out of Penn than I do. And he started this stuff as a graduate student at Penn with people who are now enshrined in the anthropology department because they were pretty fucking awesome too. Group feelings, group togetherness, social interactions and community, it's partial. It's not complete. We are not necessarily social beings. We have to have a reason. We have to have a feeling of unity, a feeling of loyalty for a reason. It's called social, it's a consent. It's consent. It's a different kind of consent than what we usually talk about, but it's consent. You have, once you get along with certain groups of people, you form these things, right?
Yeah.
So the Inciting Incident podcast, we didn't start out as, you know, a bunch of people who came together and had already agreed on things. We got together because we started talking about stuff, agreed on it, and then further developed it. And I think that's happened to everybody who's been on the show.
Yep.
We further developed these ideas. So this, you know, Jonathan Haidt argues, is an evolutionary selective trait. And if you think back, because, you know, I assume no creationists are listening to our show, if you look back to early human society, it was nomads, it was hunter-gatherers, and generally you had a very small network of groups of people, and these people would often fight with other groups of people, because it's powerful to not only have a core of loyalty and support and ritual, but part of that social togetherness is also having an other, is having someone to fear, someone to hate, someone to go after. That's what Haidt argues, is that it's evolutionary. It's how we survived. You know, if we're living on the prairie and we're being hunted by a cheetah, you know, we have that other, we have that fear. So a lot of our activities are specifically designed to not get killed by a cheetah. We travel in groups. We look out for each other. We find a bunch of anti-cheetah measures to do, because one person wandering by themselves is a lot more likely to get killed by the cheetah than 20 people with spears. So that being a selective trait, it was passed down and passed down and passed down. And once again, this is oversimplification. Haidt argues that we are 90% chimp and 10% bees, because people, groups of people, are willing to get together for reasons of similarity. People, it's to be part of the hive. The way beehives work is everybody fulfilling their role for the certain purpose, survival of the hive. Humans are kind of like that, but like I said, they need a reason. They need consent. They need you know, a football team or a political party or a book, Harry Potter. You know, people will get together over Harry Potter and have conventions over it. Anime conventions! That's a bunch of people who like anime and get together because it is natural and selective for us to feel a part of a bigger whole, a hive. Okay? So if you look at human activities at an extremely broad point, what brings people together in general more often is addressing our similarities. And that's where liberals have trouble sometimes, because they, again, generally are more about expressing differences and openness, and these are good things. These are good things now, but they were not selective before we had logic and reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you take 100,000 people and you go to Ohio Stadium. There's generally a bunch of people coming together for the purpose of cheering a football team. And there are rituals, there are chants, there's alma maters, right? Mm-hmm. It's one purpose. And it's not just the game. Tailgating, partying, you know, seeing the marching band. There are all these rituals that go into this. And the phrase that is often ascribed to things like this, to group movements, is feeling like something bigger than yourself. You know, that's the cliche that we often hear. It can also be achieved by being in a synchronized march like the military. You know, a lot of military drilling is just marching together. And that is because when people, humans, do that, they feel it. There's something psychological about that amount of precision going into doing something as part of a community. And that's why in the military, when you hear people talk about being in a battle, when they're at their most primal, when they're in the most danger, they're not fighting for their country. They're fighting for each other. That's what I'm talking about. A localized community of people with a solitary purpose is evolutionary, but you have to have that first reason to do this.
So you form a tribe.
Right.
And I gotta say, guys, Donald Trump is a really great fucking reason, and I've been harping on about this exact idea so much lately, despite the fact that I haven't read this book, though I definitely am now, and I want to invite him onto our show.
I did. He was too busy, but I'm gonna try again in between semesters.
Fuck yeah.
So, let me just finish up with something here.
Yes.
So, tribalism is an evolutionary trait. At least that's what Haight argues, and I believe him, because it makes sense. So, what he does is dissect the morality and psyche of liberal and conservative. From a generalized standpoint, from statistical research and data. And that is, in general, that liberals have 3 points of morality, and one of them is the harm fairness doctrine, which is, hey, if this doesn't hurt anybody, why do we care? If this doesn't seem fair, this is a problem. Or, hey, this is pretty fair. Even this is a good thing. On the other hand, conservatives have 6. And a lot of them are surrounded by tradition, loyalty, respect for authority, nationalism, tradition. And when you have 6 points as opposed to 3, these things are more unifying. These things, you know, have people on the same page. And that is why it's easier to get them motivated, because they are much more about everybody being a part of that greater whole. And that definitely was demonstrated by Trump. And, you know, because, as Haight argues, it's a lot easier to rally people around similarities because, you know, primate brain back there wants to find people that are like you and fight against people who are not, because there's still that instinct of fear at times. So if you take, I don't know, half a country and unify them under one slogan, under one idea, and tell them that everybody else is the problem, is it any surprise this shit got violent? That got exploited to the max. And it appealed to emotion. It appealed to tribalism. It appealed to nationalism. And it was a unified, single, solitary message. Make America great again, but here's the reasons why, and here's what we mean by that. And suddenly, after the election, Nazis are empowered. KKK people are empowered. Misogynists are empowered. Racists are empowered.
Random people who are now advocating genocide are empowered.
And not even to the level of genocide, but how many Latino people have been chased out of a place for saying, you know, have been chased out of a place by people saying, we're going to build the wall? How many black people have been told, Trump's going to get rid of you and send you back to Africa? This isn't shit I'm making up. This is shit that's happened in the last 5 days. At my own school, something went viral where somebody from Oklahoma added every black freshman to a group about daily black lynchings. This is in 5 days since this guy has been elected.
It's not like these people just came out of the woodwork last night. It's that they've been empowered and given permission collectively to do these things. I mean, I told you guys the story from last night where I was hosting our, like, 18-plus fun sexy times cosplay contest and stuff. Unfortunately, a black guy violated one of our rules as we kicked him out. He was drunk and got aggressive, and security had to throw him out. His race had literally nothing to do with the fact that he broke our rules, but then some asshole, who only I heard in the back of the audience, yelled something to the effect of, like, we're gonna build a wall! And then I was like, well, first off...
No.
No. If you're gonna be a racist, at least be the right... at least get your slur right, fucko. And I was just caught between deciding whether or not I called the guy out. Of course, I'm on stage. There's lights in my eyes. I can't see individual faces in the audience. I don't know who the fuck said that. And also that the fun, enjoyable variety show, like, burlesque thing had gotten busted up by someone who couldn't follow the fucking rules. So, like, if you think that this is a new thing, I'm sure whoever yelled that was already fucking racist and probably would have called the guy the N-word behind his back whenever he was, like, walking down the hall. But, like, now he's been empowered to think that's an okay thing to yell at an anime convention during a fun contest show.
Yeah, and Trump has pretty much convinced a bunch of people that being PC means not doing shit like that. And the filter has been removed. In this case, you know, not what you were talking about, but the way Trump expressed it, PC was not yelling racist shit.
Yeah.
PC was not trying to grab women by the pussy. You know, and he has pretty much validated these feelings at the same time that he is convinced that all the people he's attacking, it's their fault their lives suck. It's their fault. So you take a bunch of people, empower them, and then sic them on other people? That's what's happening right now. And whether you voted for him for that or not is irrelevant to the point. It's happened. It's done. It doesn't matter if he doesn't take office. These people are empowered now.
Yeah, even if he doesn't take office, it's been more than blatantly apparent the world we live in.
Yep.
And if he doesn't, I am maybe even more scared of that. Like, I mean, we may dodge the fascism bullet, which I really like, but there will be blood in the streets if he doesn't win. He's going to make a martyr of himself, and then all these white supremacists who already feel empowered by this are going to just see red completely, and I don't know, we may have another civil war. Like, and I feel like that might happen overnight if the Electoral College overturns the decision, which, please, they should.
I feel like it's going to happen either way, just for a different reason.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I am 100% in agreement. Like, this has come up a bunch of times over the weekend. So, yeah, no, the revolution is coming, and I can feel it. And, like, that was in... As soon as I woke up, because one of us had to pee at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, what are you doing still up? And he was like, I didn't, I just had to pee. Donald Trump is president. And I was like, I know. And, like, I was gonna go into work early, and I just couldn't get out of bed because I was sick and I was terrified, and it was a mix of, like, we did this, white people, we did this. Like, I know that the three of us in this car are against all those things they stood for, but we have to own that we did this.
And,
like,
yeah.
as a group that we're inextricably a part of,
yeah.
And we have to fight against that because we did this.
Yes, and there's levels of complicity for everybody.
For everybody.
Whether it was not taking them seriously, whether it was making fun or ignoring the working class. And that's the final point of hates that I want to make here.
Okay.
And that is that as a young liberal who believe that, okay, so generally a liberal principle is freedom of sex, okay? You know, they're much more open to sexual expression. And I'm generalizing again, so don't take too much into the example that I'm using. So the belief is, hey, we are open to sexual expression. Conservatives are less so. Therefore, they must hate sexual expression, or they must hate what I feel is right. That's the mistake. Believing that the other side is not sincere in their beliefs.
Yes.
And that's what creates a lot of this tension. You know, to answer the question of the book, which is why good people are divided by politics and religion, it's because they believe that the other side is not genuine. They believe that the other side is wrong. They believe that the other side is evil. And that also plays into this tribalism. If you believe someone is evil, you're going to fight against them.
Absolutely.
Most conservatives, I think, are good people. And they've been raised in a place where they genuinely feel these things are the right thing. I don't agree with them, but I don't think they're evil. And that's an important distinction to make. If we go with the belief that the other side is evil and wrong and not genuine, that is a mistake. And that's one of the biggest things that happened with Donald Trump and the people who voted for Donald Trump. You think that people get called idiots are going to come to your side? Do you think if you say all Trump voters are stupid, they're going to go, oh, you're right, I'm going to vote for your person? No, you're just going to further solidify them in the stance that they already have.
Oh, how they love to mock the oafs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe that my supervisor and her, I want to talk to the manager haircut, and the other, like, older moms and racist grandmas in my department are evil people. And, like, I probably think a bunch of them were disenfranchised proletariat, like we discussed earlier,
yep,
because of his at least addressing the mistreatment of the working class, which we all fucking are. And I don't believe any of those people are evil. I genuinely believe that a significant majority of the people who are organizing doxing and internet terrorism,
yes,
the alt-right deplorable types, you're evil. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you are arranging to hurt people, that's genuine evil. Even if, and the same with, like, using, like, leftist stuff to actively hurt people. And like,
think the working class.
Yes. Yes. That is also genuinely evil. When you're reaching the point where you are the boot on someone's throat, maybe you should reconsider your stance.
Abso-fucking-lutely. So now, wait,
Can I just conclude?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in conclusion to this idea, first of all, read Jonathan Haidt's book, like, now. The Righteous Mind. I wanted to have him on the show, but he's busy. He's a busy guy, and he's probably being flooded with emails right now. I can't imagine why. But he, you know, to give an example to that point before I wrap up with discussing Haidt's book and we can move on, he gives a theoretical in 2008, the Obama election. He says, imagine a brother and sister, and one of them is really interested in traveling and wants to go to college far away. So they live in Texas. One decides to go to NYU, and they get exposed to the poverty of Latin American countries. So the general human empathy says, that's terrible. I want to work against this. So they graduate from NYU with a degree in Latin American studies and go to work for a charity. And that exposes them to everything, well, not everything, but maybe one particular place where people are suffering. And this creates a sense of empathy and a sense of desire to help people. This person's brother goes to school locally at a state university, you know, maintains a lot of the same social circles he grew up with, maybe becomes manager of a bank, runs for mayor, you know, stays in pretty much the same place. It doesn't make either one of them evil. It doesn't make either one of them wrong. We are a product of our own experiences. But which one of those do you think voted for McCain?
Is that a rhetorical question?
It probably should be. But, you know, Will McAvoy in the newsroom had a great point once. Well, he had a great point many times, but in this particular case, his character is a Republican, and he said, you know, I grew up in a small town in Nebraska. I didn't even meet a Democrat until I was in college. That's the case for a lot of people.
Yep.
You know, when you don't meet the other, they are dehumanized. They are not someone worthy of considering. When you dehumanize someone into a thing.
We just entered South Carolina. Do we need to stop and pee?
I'm fine.
I'm still going strong.
Okay.
So when you dehumanize someone, great example. We used to have a lot more human access to the president. Abraham Lincoln had an open door policy. And that made a lot of people who supported him respect him even when they didn't agree with him. Because he was accessible. When you meet someone, even if you disagree with them, you're much more likely to respect them if you see them as a person and not a big fuck-off face on the wall. We don't have that kind of access anymore. It would be very hard for us to go to D.C. right now and say, we want to see Obama. You know, a lot of people have gotten to meet him, which is great, but it's not something that's easy to do. But
Even if they implemented something like that, they'd be so fucking terrified that someone would kill the president.
Yeah.
They'd make it nearly impossible for anyone except people with money to do so.
Mm-hmm. A great example is I met Governor Corbett because he shopped in our store. I despise his policies. I met Scott Perry, U.S. Representative, Republican of Pennsylvania. I despise his policies, but they're both nice people. They're genuine people. I loathe the way Corbett gutted education in our state. And I think Scott Perry's views on Obama are deplorable. But when you meet a person, you can categorize. I respect you, but I don't really like what you think. You're a human being with emotions and things, you know? I can empathize with you. I can see where you're coming from. I don't like it, but that doesn't make you evil. And that goes back to the Newt Gingrich point. When people stopped living with each other, they became divided. When they no longer had to get along as a sense of community, which is something that is evolutionary selective for Homo sapien, we became more divided and more tribal. And that was 21 years ago. Look where we are.
Is it my turn yet?
Yeah.
That is a heavy silence.
Just waiting for my chance. Okay, guys, hear me out on this. What if, for just the sake of this train of logic that I am currently about to pursue, we just take the politics out of politics for a second, and we look at it exclusively as an ethical concern? Do you want to side with Nazis and white supremacists, or with people who think that is bad? And I know, there are a ton of people who are going to say, but not all Trump supporters are Nazis and white supremacists. Yes, that's exactly why I'm saying take the fucking politics out of this. Because we have treated the working class so poorly, collectively, we have all either knowingly or unknowingly engaged in this. Because we have done that, Trump is much more than just Trump. He is much more than white supremacists. There are so many working class people out there who just need a fucking hand. And he offered one. And it's absolutely one of those, hey, I'll help you up. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah.
If you think that black people should feel safe when they go outside, if you think it's probably not good that cops can kill with impunity, if you personally want to see the world become different than the direction it is heading. Join us. I honestly do not give a shit who you voted for. I really don't. I care about what kind of person you are. If you think that gay people and trans people should be able to exist without being harassed and beaten, if you think that the trans suicide epidemic is a horrible concern, if you personally are scared of what is happening, whatever. Join us. Join a community. You don't have to agree with everybody that is at a protest, but you know what happens when you go to a protest? You meet a few to 100, 200s of other people who are passionate about this one thing that you are also passionate about, and together you can collectively combine to create a community in which your ethics and your shared concerns are impossible to ignore, because you are not, because instead of bitching at each other for having different experiences and backgrounds and levels of privilege and ID politics, what the fuck ever, instead of tearing each other apart as the working class, we can work together to ensure that we don't move in a fascist direction. And there are plenty of people who genuinely don't think that we are moving into a fascist direction under Trump. I put it forth to you guys. Would you rather be wrong about fascism happening and have, like, done something to try to stop it, or, like, just ignore that it might, it's a very real possibility? Because it sounds fucking crazy. We all know. Would you rather... Fuck, I'm so not eloquent about this. Would you rather ignore the problem because it sounds crazy and have it develop into something horrible, or join a protest and try to prevent it happening? And I know that a ton of people out there are scared of all these quote-unquote violent protests or whatever. I know that Trevor Noah says to anti-Trump protesters, if you're not careful, you'll become the hate you're protesting against. And I need to pair that with a fucking wint tweet at Drill on Twitter. The wise man bowed his head solemnly and spoke. There's actually zero difference between good things and bad things, you imbecile, you fucking moron. If you honestly don't think that there is a difference between white supremacy and fascism and anything else, anything that is not directly hurting people, what the fuck? This is bigger than conservative and liberal, which aren't even the only two options. This is bigger than any individual. Get out there.
Yeah.
Form a community. When violent protests are no longer necessary, you can join together about, I don't know, the colors of your street signs or something. You can protest about that and maintain the sense of community. But until then, let's just fucking do this shit. And I guarantee you, as somebody who has been to many protests, when things do get violent, it's specifically the people who are being violent that are targeted. If you show up and you even, like, I don't know, let's say you're, like, I don't know, liberal, conservative or something, not an extremist, and you are actually in black block, like, covered head to toe in black, bandana over your face, whatever. If you personally are not being violent and starting shit, you'll be fucking fine.
Good to know.
So what you're saying is being a part of a protest is something bigger than yourself, and it creates a sense of community that brings people together and makes them feel better?
Yes.
So you're pointing out that people are 10% bees?
Yeah! Yes. How about that?
Yes.
I just
yes,
kind of
absolutely.
Figured that was your coda on the end of this, because you just learned about the 10% bees thing. Which is why we keep bringing up 10%
bees. 10%
bees.
Like, I've been harping on about this idea for a pretty long time, and that's why I was trying to bring it up during the 10% bees conversation, but that didn't end up happening.
Sorry.
It's okay. Because we can create this sense of community, and it can exist peacefully with all of our differences. We can just focus on the big, you know, we don't want want to live under a fascist regime thing and work out our smaller differences, like our personal political identities, later on, once people aren't about to die.
Yeah. I need to clarify, because I think this is important. When we were under President Bush, there was a lot of anti-right, anti-Bush, anti-conservative. Right now, we are saying anti-fascism, and that's an important distinction. Because we're not out there saying, fuck the Republicans. We're not out there saying, fuck conservatives, fuck Christians, fuck anything like that. We're not saying that. We're saying, hey, let's not live in a fascist state. Let's not live somewhere where an LGBT person has to fear if they're going to get their car blown up. Another thing that actually happened.
And, like, honestly, I have to fucking say, I have been that person in the past that has been like, fuck Republicans, fuck conservatives, fuck Christians, fuck all of you. Fuck your opinion and fuck you too. However, this is no longer the time for that. I don't care if you're a liberal. I don't care if you're a conservative. I don't care if you're a fucking, like, Tea Party activist or whatever. I don't even care if you're a furry.
Unless you're an annoying furry,
yeah,
locking the door to the panel room, and you come back 15 minutes later when I tell you you can't get in the room for another 50 minutes.
Patreon bonus content. Only 34 people, plus the people in this car, know what we're talking about.
Woo, self-referential jokes.
I think from that particular example, they can understand what I'm talking about,
yes,
given that I mentioned being at a convention earlier.
Yes.
Like, furries are not a thing I care about, but please don't be fucking annoying.
Yeah, I really don't give a shit what you identify as personally. But if you're against Nazis and white supremacy, I'm a fan. Like, you're my comrade. I will fight with you against fascism, against white supremacy, against the road that we are going down. If we collectively band together, we can swerve off course and go in a completely different direction, but it's gonna take unity.
And can I just add one thing? You don't even have to be completely complicit with everything we're saying, or anything we're saying, really, but can we at least start by having the president-elect? Can we at least unify to pressure him into saying, hey people, stop attacking people! Has anybody heard that? I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't.
I haven't heard Donald Trump say, hey, don't blow up cars. Hey, those kids that go to the school that I enjoyed my wealthy fucking education from, don't add black people to lynching groups. Don't join a lynching group. Don't tell black people they're going to be shipped out of the country. Don't pull a hijab off of a Muslim woman.
You know, anytime a strong leader gains a big following, there are always really shitty people that crop up in it. It's sort of a bell curve.
Yeah.
And, like, you see this in fandoms. You know, I'm just talking about, we're talking about anime cons and stuff like that, so I'm deeply involved in a lot of fandoms. Actually, that's not true, but I'm exposed to a lot of fandoms. And the bell curve of fandom. And, like, in a lot of cases, I think I'm actually going to throw Steven Universe out here as an example.
Woo!
Like, there is a lot of garbage in the Steven Universe fandom. And Rebecca Sugar and the Crooniverse have decried them and have come out and said, that is garbage behavior.
We're passing Bees Creek.
10%, what's up?
And, like, have said, you know, don't attack people on the internet because you don't like skinny Art of Rose Quartz. You know, like, do not be shitty to the other people who like the thing you like. And, like, Bernie Sanders had to say the same thing to his supporters who were getting super shitty, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, you need to calm the fuck down. And I have heard nothing of that from the president-elect.
I haven't heard that from any of these politicians.
From any of these politicians, which is part of the thing about pointing towards autocracy and the rise of fascism. And I just wanted to also add that we are specifically talking about fascism and not fuck Republicans, because if, say, Kasich or Carly Fiorina, not fucking Rubio or Ted Cruz, who are both monstrous, like...
Rand Paul!
Okay.
Paul Ryan, where are you?
Right, okay, so these five people all have beliefs and follow conservative, you know, fiscal conservative things that I think are deeply sexist and misogynist and racist and, like, deeply flawed problems, but they are beliefs that are, you know, they have a platform, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
they're not saying, let's go stone gay people.
Stone gay people, right? Like, they may not think gay people deserve the right to marry, but they're not calling for the death of them.
Right.
And while I can certainly go, well, I think, you know, these fiscal policies are deeply racist because it's only going to fuck black people and people of color over more, you know, that's a thing I can disagree with. And if Kasich had been the Republican nom and we're in the position that we are in now, where he's the president-elect and not Donald Trump, it feels like saying the name of Voldemort.
Yep. It really does.
Yeah, we would be like, oh, fuck Republicans, this is going to be terrible, he's going to tank the economy, and it's going to be, like, Reagan all over again, or whatever. Like, we'd be mad, but we wouldn't be terrified.
This isn't our person didn't win. If this election had been Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, we might have been upset that Grandpa Biden didn't win, but I don't think we would be consistently protesting the second it happened. And make no mistake, it is. Protests are going on every day. And Mr. Donald Trump, who said we should march and protest a fairly won election 4 years ago, is now saying it's totally unfair. These people are protesting. They're crybabies. You have the people who were saying we were going to rise up and murder people if we lost the election that you said was rigged. The election is rigged was said by the guy who got the second most votes and is the fucking president-elect. Okay, we've been in 3 states during this rant, we should just say. 3 different states. We're in South Carolina. We started in Florida. This is pretty awesome. And you're going to get more bonus material if you're a patron from more states. So that's pretty cool, right? And I'm surprised to say that our patron content is probably going to be less angry.
Yeah, our patron content, the bonus content was all pretty funny. It was just a lot of bullshit stories.
The preceding podcast is owned by It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead, LLC. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. For inquiries or media, please contact P.A. Torres at patorres.com.